Welcome to Another Moment in Creation with Diana Wedge, where we explore the world around us from God's perspective. Today, we have a very special interview with Dr. Kent Hovind, otherwise known as Dr. Dino. Dr. Kent Hovind brings a wealth of knowledge and experience with 15 years of teaching science and math in high school and over 50 years of ministry as a Baptist pastor and evangelist. He is committed to using the latest scientific evidence to strengthen faith in God's Word, guiding individuals closer to Christ. His hope is to inspire and enlighten all who seek the truth about the divine origin of life on earth. I think you will really appreciate his refreshing and very straightforward approach to his ministry.
Hello, Dr. Hovind. This is a special treat for me. I want to welcome you to Another Moment in Creation.
Well, thank you, ma'am. Good to be with you.
Sorry. I'm very excited to interview you. And about 25 years ago, I started this path of learning about creationism. I was brought up in school, taught evolution, didn't know there was anything else, right? The typical, yeah, that's what they tell you, this is just what it is, you don't question it. However, I had questions. I did have questions. So if I saw something in textbook that we call circular reasoning, you know, it would give me a question and I had to answer it, but I had a question to it. Well, you're not allowed to ask the questions, you just have to answer it based on the information given. So that kind of stifled me a bit. When I did go to Sunday school, I was brought up to go to check out church and be a part of church. And so I did accept Christ as my savior at a young age. But when I started asking questions, it stunted my growth. So I would still believe God and Jesus is the savior. But I didn't really follow the Bible because I thought it was a great book with a lot of good advice in it. That's pretty much what I was taught. Because, you know, in school, they're telling you one thing and the Sunday school another thing, so I just didn't know how to reconcile it, and it kind of pulled me aside. But about 25 years ago, my cousin introduced me to a video series that he saw a pastor showing, and in it there was a young earth guy, Dr. Carl Baugh, and from that I got interested. And then my cousin introduced me to your materials, your creation seminar materials, and I had all the videotapes. I bought everything I could get my hands on, and I just started absorbing it. And I also looked at things secular, because I learned that there's a rabbit trail. The secular world will say, okay, in physics, we've got all the answers, but there's this one spot we just don't quite have. But if you go look at biology, you'll get the answer. So I'd look at biology, and I did the rabbit trail. Well, I still realize they really didn't have the full answer. But the creationist I was listening to seemed to have really good answers that lined up with the Bible, made sense, and I started to trust the Bible. So I prayed. I literally prayed and said to God, if this is real, show it to me. I'll do my work. I'll research. Back in the day when you had to do books and videos, there were no internet searches that you could do. And so I did the work. And then more and more, I remember you sharing once a lesson on being brainwashed, and you had a baseball field. And so you talked about, you know, about that whole scenario going around and where did he end up? And so I had trouble grasping that, but I was like, there's got to be something to it. And then eventually it sunk in and I got it. And so I now can't go back to the other way of thinking. I just can't. I have to deny everything that I know is fact to believe evolution. So now that I have set a foundation about where I'm coming from and why I'm so excited to meet you, because you were one of those founding people that set me on this path. So I'm so grateful for you putting your feet in and just moving forward. So now I've settled in and learned more about you. Okay, so after your many years of teaching in high school for science and math, why does the age of the earth matter?
Well, Jesus said the creation of Adam was the beginning. Was he lying? In the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, God said he made everything in heaven and earth in 6 days. Was God lying? The Bible says Adam was 130 when Seth was born, and then Seth was 105 when his boy was born. It gives all the dates in Genesis 5. If you add them up, it comes to about 6,000 years ago, 4,000 BC. This age of the earth question, I think, is critical for many, many things. First of all, if you take away the billions of imaginary years, the evolution theory collapses in a heap. They have to imagine changes in the past that we don't ever see today. Evolution is a religion. There's nothing scientific about it. It's a religious belief, and they're welcome to keep it. But we should not all be funding that to be taught. So my first video of my series, which is 18 hours long, you can get it all on drdino.com, D-R-D-I-N-O. The first video is called The Age of the Earth. It gives about 30 or 35 different scientific reasons to prove the Earth simply cannot be billions of years old. It can't be. Now, if you need billions of years for your theory, well, get a new theory, because that you can't have it. So I think the credibility of the Bible is certainly at stake, and the credibility of science is at stake. You can't scientifically claim the Earth is billions of years old and get by with it. There are too many scientific limitations. So in my video, number one, I talk about the biblical age of the Earth. According to the Bible, it's 6,000. According to science, it's certainly not billions. You look at things like the Earth is spinning, but it slows down. Well, that means it used to be going faster. How far back in time can you go before that becomes a problem? The moon gets further from the Earth every year. Well, that means it used to be closer. That would make a problem. And there's all kinds of scientific indicators, like the salt increasing in the ocean, things like that. So if you watch video number one, I give a lot of scientific reasons why it just simply cannot be. Well, I think evolution is pollution to our science. I love science. Evolution has nothing to do with it. It's a pagan religion mixed in with our science books.
Yes, absolutely. I agree. So when geologists and other scientists are telling us these things and people question how can they be wrong, one of the things I've learned is it is creation versus evolution. They are both belief systems. There's not science over religion. And also I've learned that it's where your starting point is. Do you believe in God's word or do you believe no God, which is evolution? And so those Christians that try to blend and blur evolution into the Bible don't realize that evolution was about stripping God out of the equation. They just don't seem to grasp that part of it. So, okay, so I'm going to ask you another one because there's some people that have asked me this question and I have researched it and tried to send them information, but it seems like once they've gone down this rabbit hole, you can't get them out of it. But I want to hear you answer this, please. Creationists such as ourselves do not believe that the Earth is flat. However, there's a group of folks that think the Earth is not round and they have their own society. But what does the Bible have to say about the Earth's shape?
Well, they certainly misquote or misuse some Bible verses to say it's flat. I think if you look at it scripturally or scientifically, either way, God created everything. The Earth is going around the sun and the moon goes around the Earth. And every once in a while, the moon gets in the way and makes a shadow on the Earth. We call that an eclipse, right?
Yes.
Other times, the Earth gets between the moon and the sun, and the Earth makes a shadow on the moon. And our shadow on the moon, called an eclipse, is always round. Always round, no matter what time of year it happens.
No.
That indicates the Earth is a ball making a shadow on the moon, because the shadow is always round. It is not physically possible. If you turn your kitchen faucet water on, just let it drip out of your kitchen faucet. As soon as it drips loose from the faucet, it turns into a ball and falls as a ball. Right? A drop of water.
Yes.
If the Earth were ever flat, it would quickly pull itself into a ball just by gravity. It cannot possibly be a flat object out there. And there's so many scientific experiments to prove, you know, with sticks in the ground, perpendicular, straight up in the air, the difference of the shadows it makes. And that's a battle somebody else has to fight.
I think
the flat Earth battle, it's a giant distraction from, it's so obviously stupid. The Earth is round. Now, Kansas is flat and part of Montana is flat, but the rest of it's round. Okay?
Yes, you're right.
Okay.
So, yes, it's. I try not to laugh, but yeah, there's some people that I really care about, and there's lots of them, actually. I'm surprised how many have fallen into this. Very intelligent people, mind you. And it's shocking to me. Even when I've sent them information that refutes that from people who are Bible-believing Christians, they don't even bother to take the time to read it. I don't understand it. So anyway, that's done. Okay, what are some of the common lies that you often hear from the visitors to Dinosaur Adventureland?
Well, we get atheists to come here occasionally. Some have come and stayed for several days, and they're all welcome to do that. We have nothing to hide. We have a science center, 12,000 square feet, building all full of fossils and museum and activities and about science. It's based on the 7 days of creation. Day one, let there be light. We got a bunch of cool science experiments about light and electricity and magnetism and gravity. So atheists, the whole evolution theory is founded on lies. Okay, start off with just the age of the Earth. It cannot possibly be billions of years old. There had to be a designer. It had to be recently. I say recent. 6,000 is not young. 6,000 is a long time. I mean, it's hard to think about Columbus trying to find this place 500 years ago. That's 500, okay? The Vikings, 1,000 years ago. So 6,000 is plenty of time to make everything we see on the Earth, especially when you include Noah's giant flood. So I think there's so many lies that evolution is based on. They believe the whole universe began from a dot smaller than an atom. That is so on the face stupid. You cannot squeeze a cup of water into a dot smaller than an atom. You're sure not going to put the whole Pacific Ocean in there and the whole planet and all the other planets and the sun and all the stars. Plus, that dot had to contain not only all the matter of the universe, but all the energy of the universe. How much energy have all the stars burned up since they've been burning? Goodness. All that was in that dot.
Yeah.
That is just so stupid. It's mind-boggling that anybody with one functioning brain cell could believe such a thing. Then they have to say, they have to believe that life got started from non-living material. I show right straight from the textbooks that they say the Earth was a hot ball of rock. Earth started off as a hot ball of rock in the evolution religion, and it slowly rained on. It rained, got rained and rained and rained for millions of years and turned the rocks into soup. And then in that soup, the first living organisms appeared. So they believe we came from a rock. They really do. They get mad when you say that. And when you show them right from their textbooks, they still don't see it and believe it because it is what they teach.
Yeah.
And that first living life, that first life form had to find somebody to marry. There's a good trick. And something to eat. Another good trick. And they slowly evolved into everything we see today. They have these family trees of amoeba turning into humans and whales and bananas and cherries. And it's so stupid.
You know, it is really fascinating because, you know, any research an average person does, even on creationism, they get told basically that we think pretty much like these other religions that you just spoke of. In reality, it's God's word and it's under attack. And the truth is right there, but they can't see it. They are so blinded by the things of this world. They can't get their head around it. You know, they'll deny to their dying day that atheists, that evolution is a religion. But it is.
It's nothing but a religion. And they get angry when I say that. But see, even if they admit it, then they quickly realize, oh no, then we lose our tax funding. Right now, their religion is being supported in all our public schools and museums and science centers and state parks and national parks. They teach evolution.
That's true.
So here we're all paying for their religion to be spread. I resent that.
Yeah, that's true. And it's also the idea that if anything that the Bible says is true, that means there's a real God and then there's accountability, right? And they don't even want to think about that. Goodness.
It really is. It's a series of dominoes. If they admit, wow, the Bible's true, God created the world, that means he owns it.
Yeah.
Well, that means he gets to make the rules. They don't like his rules.
No.
So they deny his existence to try to get around his rules.
That's right. I agree with you. Okay, so let's see. I've got another question for you. Okay, so when do you feel closest to God?
I guess when I win somebody else to the Lord and pray with them and they introduce them to Jesus. And I love introducing people to the Lord, having them pray and ask God to save them. There's three stages to your physical life. You get born because of what somebody else did, okay? Then you grow, which takes years and years and years. And then you make your own babies, okay? Mm-hmm. In the spiritual world, it's the same thing. You get born again because of what Jesus did. You grow by reading the Bible, and then you make some spiritual babies. You lead them to Christ, and there's no experience like that in the world.
That's wonderful. How does your faith help you cope with life's difficulties?
Well, I chose a song years ago as a brand new Christian, 1969. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. I look at it like God has sent me behind enemy lines. I'm a soldier in the trenches behind enemy lines. And this world's not my home. I expect them to hate me. I don't want them. I'm not trying to make them hate me. They just do. So it's
incredible. Yeah. Well, even like during just deaths and things like that, I know for my husband and myself, we're noticing as we get older, we're losing more people. Things are happening in life, right? So sometimes my husband will say, you know, I want to see more answered prayer. And I'll say to him, sometimes we have to look at things a little differently. It's different if you're the family that's mourning that immediate family member in that moment. It's too hard to think outside of this. But we can look back, because one of the things we could see is you look for the blessings in there. So sometimes things happen. And yeah, without God, I don't know how people cope with that. Goodness.
This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. I have a loving mother just over in glory land, and I don't expect to stop until I shake her hand. She's waiting now for me in heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Just over in glory land we'll live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. Their songs of sweetest praise drift back from heaven's shore, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
That was Jim Reeves. This world is not my home.
So here's a question. What is one piece of advice that you would give to someone starting out on their walk with Christ?
Read the Bible. Read it when you're done. Read it again when you're done. Read it again. That's the whole secret to the Christian.
Yeah.
Brand new babies can drink milk and turn it into fingernails, hair, skin, muscle, bone, nerve tissue, everything made from milk. It's crazy. Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2 that we should desire the sincere milk of the word that we may grow thereby. It's the word of God. As a brand new Christian, I got the whole Bible on record. Alexander Scorby, reading the Bible, King James, and be sure to stick with the King James for lots of reasons. But it was 45 RPM record, a stack of records with the whole Bible on there. So I had got a record player and I was playing and listening to it. And one day I accidentally had it set on 33 RPM. And I noticed, I can understand this guy. He's talking kind of fast, you know, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And so I noticed if I could follow with my eyes and with my ears listening, I could read the whole Bible in like 40 hours.
Wow.
So then one day I tried it on 45 RPM. Now he's talking like a chipmunk, but I could still follow it. You can read through the whole Bible in about 20 hours. So I read through the Bible many, many, many times.
Wow.
And it becomes part of what you are, part of how you think. It becomes part of your psychology, you know. And that the most profound effect for me as a young Christian was just simply reading God's word and listening to other people explain things. If you don't understand something, skip it. You know, babies drink milk, but they only absorb about 10%. Yeah. The rest ends up in the diaper, as any mother knows, okay?
Yeah.
So that's okay. You got 10%. Read it. If you don't, you don't have to understand it all. Just read it. It's amazing what it does for you. That's my, I would recommend every Christian, if you do nothing else, shut off the video games and just read God's word.
That's good advice. It is. So what is the biggest misconception about Christianity in your opinion?
I guess people think the atheists, I debate them all the time. I've had 388 debates with atheists. Wow. My most popular one is where the guy asked me, where did God come from? Mm-hmm. Just type in, where did God come from by Kent Hovind. Have you seen that one?
No, I have not yet. No.
Nope. It's got 950 wow. million views.
I have to check that out. Wow.
Yeah. It's my answer is only 2 minutes long. Where did God come from?
The following is from a YouTube search on where did God come from? Best answer, Dr. Kent Hovind versus Reinhold Schleiter debate.
I am confused. Being philosophically consistent and being a very honest person, I'm sure you can tell me where God came from. And in addition, once you've told me where God comes from, please try to clarify how you can figure that a spiritual force can have an impact on a material universe to create it. I think that some years ago we already talked about that kind of thing in philosophical circles at any rate, by posing the question, if angels are made of spiritual matter and a pen is made of material matter and spiritual matter displaces no space, how many angels can dance on the tip of a pen? I have a sense of sort of reversal experience here, but please do go ahead.
You've got 5 minutes. Now, I just want to know which question.
That's all right. You may take the rest of the minute.
We're supposed to do one question at a time. Which one would you like? That was part of the format for the debate. So which
question? I want you to fill in the story of the rest of the beginning of the universe. God, spiritual matter, impact on material matter.
Okay. So two questions. All right.
Go ahead.
All right. Your question, where did God come from, assumes that you're thinking of the wrong, obviously it displays that you're thinking of the wrong God, because the God of the Bible is not affected by time, space, or matter. If he's affected by time, space, or matter, he's not God. Time, space, and matter is what we call a continuum. All of them have to come into existence at the same instant, because if there were matter but no space, where would you put it? If there were matter and space but no time, when would you put it? You cannot have time, space, or matter independently. They have to come into existence simultaneously. The Bible answers that in 10 words. In the beginning, there's time. God created the heaven, there's space, and the earth, there's matter. So you have time, space, matter created, a trinity of trinities there. Just, you know, time is past, present, future. Space has length, width, height. Matter has solid, liquid, gas. You have a trinity of trinities created instantaneously, and the God who created them has to be outside of them. If he's limited by time, he's not God. The God who created this computer is not in the computer. He's not running around in there changing the numbers on the screen, okay? The God who created this universe is outside of the universe. He's above it, beyond it, in it, through it. He's unaffected by it. So the concept that a spiritual force cannot have any effect on a material body, well, then I guess you'd have to explain to me things like emotions and love and hatred and envy and jealousy and rationality. I mean, if your brain is just a random collection of chemicals that formed by chance over billions of years, how on earth can you trust your own reasoning processes and the thoughts that you think? Okay, so your question, where did God come from, is assuming a limited God. And that's your problem. The God that I worship is not limited by time, space, or matter. If I could fit the infinite God in my 3-pound brain, he would not be worth worshiping, that's for certain. So that's the God that I worship. Thank you.
But I think Christians, many people have the misconception that Christians are stupid and don't understand science. Most of the major inventions of the world, most of the major improvements to humanity and society have been done by Christians. Christians are the ones who are looking for the design in nature. Rather than looking for the chaos, we're looking for, hey, there must have been a designer. If I told you nobody made this pencil, you'd think I'm stupid. You know, obviously somebody made it. Who made it? I don't know. But it had to be somebody with some mathematical ability because it's got six even sides on it, nice hexagon. Okay. It has made out of metal, so they had to have some, or, you know, some knowledge. The wrapper around the eraser is made out of metal. they had to know, have knowledge of some metallurgy. Mm-hmm. And there's just too many design factors in just a pencil.
Yeah.
Somebody had to make this. When you look at something like a single cell in your body, now we're talking one cell in your body is more complicated than the space shuttle.
Wow.
The most complex machine ever built by man. And one cell in your body is more complicated than that. Mm-hmm. And the average person has 100 trillion cells. I got a friend who's got probably five times that many because he needs to lose some weight. But the cells are so complex. There had to be a designer. So I think people sometimes think Christians are stupid. And this is absolutely not. I'll debate any atheist. You tell them, I'm just an ordinary high school science teacher who happens to love God and believe the Bible. I'll debate all of them at the same time with half my brain tied behind my back.
Well, you know, I know that you've raised your children right, because I've watched some of Eric's programs on Creation Today, and he's often referred to being raised well. And I love how he just goes right out and asks questions, and he encourages non-believers to talk with him online, and they have good right. conversations. So obviously that's rubbed off on your children. So that's good. So, yeah, the Amen. Question about where did God come from? I don't remember where I heard this, but it's become a part of how I think, too, is that why would I, or who created God or whatever? That was it. Who created God would be why would I worship a God that needed someone else to create him? You know, like right. it just ends the conversation. And literally, I did that with someone who was visiting here from England. And she was a nice gal, just asking questions very nicely. She wasn't being harassing and anything. But she did ask that question. And it just came out of my mouth without thinking. And I know I got it from somebody else. But just the fact that why would I worship a God that needs another God to create him? That's kind of crazy. So it's...
Well, see, the question, like, where did God come from, has a built-in assumption. That he had to come from somewhere.
Yeah.
What if God has always been? See, we are stuck in time, space, and matter. Have you ever wished you could go back 5 seconds to undo the dumb thing you just did?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, see, God's not stuck in time. We are. This is not 2025 in heaven.
Can you
God sees it all at the same time.
That's right. You often have spoken about time, space, and matter, and you've referred to the Bible and God in that context. Can you share that with us, please? You do it really well.
The first 10 words in the Bible, in the beginning, there's time. God created the heaven, that's space, and the earth, matter. Time has to be created first, and time is a trinity, past, present, future. God created the heaven. Space is a three-dimensional, length, width, height. It's not possible to have one or two of those. Mm-hmm. As soon as you have one, you got all three. There's no such thing as two-dimensional space or one-dimensional. It's not possible. I taught geometry for years, and I understand plane geometry and solid geometry. And really, in reality, there's no such thing as a circle. Mm-hmm. As soon as you draw it on paper, the thickness of your ink or pencil just made it into a cylinder.
Oh,
a circle is purely imaginary. Purely imaginary.
And okay. So matter.
Matter comes in three flavors, solid, liquid, gas. Plasma is simply a hotter gas is all. So God answers, where did God come from? Assumes that God had to come from somewhere. The question is invalid. It's like me asking you, why are elephants orange? How are you going to answer that? They're not orange, okay?
Yeah.
God did not come from anywhere. So the where, it doesn't apply to God. He's already everywhere. Did involve time, past, present, future. God's not locked in time. We are.
Yeah.
Come, that means he has to go from place to place. No, he's already in both places.
Yeah.
And from, again, a distance or a location. So almost all the words of that question are invalid when it comes to God.
True. And even your time, space, and matter, I remember you referring to it as a trinity of trinities. And
right.
I thought that was brilliant. Very, very good. Very well thought. Let's see. I have another question for you. Why do you think so many people, children raised in the church, leave the church as adults, young adults?
I think many of them, why did Eve fall for Satan's lie in the Garden of Eden? He came and said to Eve, if you do what I say, you eat off that tree, you can be like God. And that's the drawing factor of this evolution theory. Wow, man started off like an amoeba and we're getting bigger and better. We became a chimpanzee and finally here we are human and someday we get to be God. It's the same lie in the devil. The whole evolution theory is one of the lies of the devil that man is going to someday get to be God. That's what Star Trek is.
Mm-hmm.
Keep going, keep learning. Someday we're going to sail around the universe and discover new life forms, you know, like Star Trek.
That's right.
It's just, it's the same lie. No, we're made in God's image and we're fallen creatures. I'm all in favor of science and technology and improving it, blah, 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 but we're not going to become God.
No.
It started really with Satan. If you read the book of Isaiah chapter 14 and Ezekiel 28, Lucifer said, I will be like the Most High. I want to be like God. And he's driving all this stuff on the earth, these crazy religions that teach you get to be God, the Mormons, you know. If you're a good Mormon, you get to go off to heaven someday and be God and produce, you know, have thousands of wives and millions of spirit babies.
Wow.
It's the same lie of many religions. And evolution is just a religion teaching basically the same thing. Man someday is going to become God. We're the rulers of the universe.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That I see that a lot in the New Age. It's all about feeling good yourself and what makes you happy and all of that. I know of someone that believes that there's no evil in the spiritual realm because she's a part of the New Age thing. And it's difficult to try to work around that when you're trying to talk to someone when they refuse to believe that there's evil in the spiritual realm. They think we're all just good little spirits. Anyway, I find also when some of the atheists that I've watched little parts of the material where they're sharing why they lost their faith, if they had faith when they were little, if they had it at all, or they were brought up in church, a lot of them will share it was when they saw they couldn't reconcile the science with the Bible. And some of them said that even as little children, they realized something wasn't right. And I thought that could so be have been me. Because I didn't get those answers, yet there was something inside me that kept me on the right path long enough to start to learn. But some of these people, they just ran the opposite direction because something wasn't lining up. And it doesn't take long for someone to realize how can you have sin if you have no Adam and Eve that sinned, you know, so they don't, the evolutionists don't believe in a biblical Adam and Eve. And they don't, they believe in a mitochondrial Adam and Eve, but like it's totally different and they weren't the only ones and they have a whole storyline for that. But if you have Adam and sin happened with Adam and Eve, then you have a reason for Jesus ultimately coming. But you can't have God declaring everything was good at the end of creation, but have all this death, you know, so it's like you just can't blend the two ideas together. So at some point you see there's a problem there. So then you start to wonder, well, what can I trust? And even today, a lot of churches, these people are coming out of seminaries and they're incorporating evolution into what they teach everybody. And it's sad to me because how long before these folks are going to start to see the dots and start pulling away? You know, what can you believe if you can't believe the beginning? So anyway.
Right.
Let's see.
Well, I ask atheists all the time. I do debates, many of them. I'll debate anybody on this topic. I ask them, guys, if you believe in evolution, how do you tell right from wrong? Where is your standard? I mean, there are standards of measurements in the world, you know, metric and standard of measurement. There's measurements for weight and for length and for, et cetera, volume. Where's the standard for right and wrong? Atheists don't have one. I ask them a question. I say, guys, is it wrong for you to go next door and kill your neighbor's baby and eat it? Yeah. Why would that be wrong? Lion does it to the zebra all the time. Don't they? Yeah, kill the zebra baby and eat it. Why is it wrong for the lion? It's okay for the lion, but it's wrong for humans. Tell you what, if you believe in evolution and you don't have a standard for right and wrong, if you think it's wrong to kill your neighbor's baby and eat it, why don't you go to Africa and hold up a sign in front of the lion, stop eating the zebra. I'll pay for the sign and part of your ticket to get over there.
Yeah. We have a moral compass, and that moral compass was given to us by God. That's another topic right there. The absolutes, they don't believe in absolutes. And, you know, you'd ask, well, are you absolutely sure that there's no absolutes? Because, you know, you have to, like you just pointed out, that's moral relativism. Moral relativism, right? So my right should be okay for me, even if it's not okay for you. I gave an example once, and I don't remember who I got it from. If it's from you, please clarify it. But they gave an example. If there were five people left on the face of this earth, and something happened, and there's four men and one woman, and three men decide, you know what, we need to repopulate this earth. We need to make sure we get more babies with this woman. And the fourth guy says, well, wait a minute, why don't we ask the woman? Well, the other three say, it doesn't matter what she says, because there's more of us and we've decided that this is what's best. So that's moral relativism at the end result there. So you need God's hand in what is right and what is wrong, because then we all are on the same page and we can make sense of life better. So I saw you trying to swat something there, but you know what? So that leads me to asking if you can tell us more about Dinosaur Adventure Land. And I know we can find out from drdino.com. And I learned that a few years ago we drove past your general area, so now I'm all excited next time I'm out there to try and come by. So can you tell us a bit about it?
Well, I was in Pensacola for 27 years, and I produced millions of videos on science and the Bible. And a guy called me 9 years ago. He said, "Kent, I saw your videos. You changed my life." I said, "Well, good. That's what I'm trying to do." He said, "I want to help your ministry. What's your next project?" I said, "Brother, I've been in Pensacola 27 years. I got like 2.5 acres. I'm landlocked. I want to get some property and build a Christian camp, a museum, a science center, a theme park. I'm not sure what all I want to build, but I need more land." He said, "Have you found what you want?" I said, "I think so, brother. Yesterday, I found an old gravel pit for sale in Lenox, Alabama, population 30. I said, "It's 140 acres, nothing there but a bunch of mud. And he wants $250,000. The guy on the phone said, "All right, I'll buy it for you." Bought it and gave it to us.
Wow.
It's been just, there's nothing here except the gravel pit, you know, mined out gravel pit. There was a little red roof, two little bathrooms for the truckers going in and out, a little weigh station, 10 by 12 building. Anyway, it's been amazing watching God pull this together. Wow. We have now 30 cabins, 20 motorhome hookups. We have a 12,000 square foot science center. We're building a 1/3 scale model Noah's Ark.
Oh, cool.
17 lakes and ponds for fishing and boating and swimming. And it's 5 miles of trails. I give tours in the Jeep. We have 3 Jeeps. We took the doors off and the roof off. We give tours around like Jurassic Park. It is just so fun. The only problem we have here, if you come visit, you're welcome to. We have well water. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't know this. I taught biology for 15 years. If you drink well water, your babies would be born naked. So be sure to bring your own water or be ready to suffer the consequences.
That is good. I love it. You know, I love your sense of humor and your straightforward answers on things. It's so refreshing. Thank you. Yeah, we'll make sure we put some information in our socials and to make sure people know how to link directly to you.
And it's free. Cabins, we'll put you up for free. We'll feed you. We feed 3,000 meals a month.
Just
work on donations. If you want to help, help. If you don't, get out of the way. We're going to do it anyway.
Oh, I can appreciate that. Wow, that is really nice that you do that. Are there any topics that you feel our listeners would love to learn more about? Something that you just feel you want to share that's on your heart?
Well, I think my video series, 18 hours, creation seminar series, is $50. When I got started 35 years ago, I used to loan videos out. Mm-hmm. I learned right away, Christians don't steal, but they borrow and never return. So we don't loan it. We sell it for $50. You can watch it, copy it, and send it back, get your money back. That's been our policy for 35 years, okay?
Wow.
But I've tried to cover as much as I can. I talk awful fast. I use thousands and thousands of PowerPoint slides, you know, and document everything I can. Mm-hmm. The first one about the age of the earth, I think, is critical for Christians to get that. The second one, part two, is called the Garden of Eden. Mm-hmm. Why did the people live to be 900 years old? Read Genesis 5. Mm-hmm. Those people are living to be 900.
That's right.
How? Why? And what effect does that have? That's it. Mm-hmm. Once you get that down in your head, they lived in a different world than we do. They had greater air pressure, greater oxygen concentration, and they lived to be 900. That explains why dinosaurs that are, you know, 50 feet long had nostrils the same size as a horse. How could an animal breathe? They have little small lungs and small nostrils, and yet they grew to be 80 feet long, some of
That's
them.
So very
I cover that video number two. Video number three is about dinosaurs and the Bible, dinosaurs mentioned all through history, and dinosaurs that may still be alive. There have been a lot of reported sightings like Loch Ness Monster and Lake Champlain Monster, stuff like that. Ogopogo up there near where you live, Lake Okanagan.
Yeah.
So I cover video number three. Number four is a whole 2 hours on lies in the textbooks. Mm-hmm. Kids are being taught just plain lies that the baby and the mother has gill slits. That was proven wrong in 1874. Why are we still teaching that? So I go through lies. Video number five is about the dangers of this evolution theory. That's the one they arrested and put me in prison for. Mm-hmm. For number five. The guys who started my country down here, you're Canadian and American, okay, the guys who started our country, they had a philosophy. They said, "We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men are created equal. They're endowed by their creator with certain rights, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness." Okay, where do rights come from? Mm-hmm. If evolution is true, rights come from the strongest. The big guy gets to decide what the rules are, the bully, right? That was Darwin's book, The Origin of Species by Means of Natural Selection or the Preservation of Favored Races. Well, what if you're not a favored race? Well, then you got to die like Hitler and the Jews, you know? Video number six is all about what did the flood do to the world? Where did the water come from? Where did it go? What happened? The geology. They started teaching the kids 200 years ago that the layers of the earth are different ages, and they gave them names, Jurassic and Triassic and Mississippian. It's all baloney. It doesn't exist anywhere. There's no such thing as a geologic column. They say the top layer is younger. I'm always asking them questions, guys, if that top layer of dirt is younger, where did it come from? Did it come from outer space? Are layers being added to the earth from space? Every speck of dirt in the earth, on the earth, is the same age.
That's a good question.
Whether 6,000 or 6 trillion.
Yeah.
How can some dirt be younger than others? Where's it coming from? They avoid that question like the plague.
That's a good
number
question.
Video number seven is, my seventh video, and there's actually two DVDs because it's 5 hours long, commonly asked questions. What about carbon dating? How did the light from the stars get here? Where did the races come from? Are you a tax protester? I've answered so many of those. We got run 9 different channels, I think. They took us off of YouTube, which is to be expected. But if you go to drdino.com, all of our channels are listed there. And like as a tax protester, February 1st, a couple months ago, I did an open letter to Donald Trump.
Okay.
Watch that. You tell me what I did wrong. They did arrest me for video number 5.
Really?
And they put me in prison for 9 years for absolutely no crime whatsoever. But God's good. It's just some of his kids that drive me nuts, but God is good.
Yeah, you're right about that. I'm just making a note here to check that out. Yeah. Oh, goodness. Well, so one of the other things that you mentioned in there was the distant starlight thing. I have a really good friend, and his son is a Christian, but he believes in an older earth, and part of his big thing is this distant starlight issue. Can you address that for us?
Sure. The answer I give on seminar video number 7, how did the light from the stars get here? It takes about 30 minutes. I don't know if I can summarize it, but God said 17 times in the Bible that he stretched out the heavens. He made the earth first. Read Genesis chapter 1. On day 3, he made the stars and he stretched them out into place. So if the stars were made and stretched out to where they are today, they would give a red shift. It's called the Doppler effect. I taught physics for years, and I cover that with all kinds of pictures and slides in video number 7. But God made the earth, and then he made the stars. Instead, they're asking the wrong question. How did the light from those stars get here? Mm. That's the wrong question. How did the star get from here to there is the question.
Yeah.
God made the stars and stretched them out where they are. The stars probably are billions of light years away. I wouldn't question that. But he could have done it in 3 seconds.
True.
So
absolutely.
I give a very, very thorough answer with all the objections answered on video number 7, or several times in the last 6 months on my program, I've covered that. How did the light from the stars get here? Is that something, Joseph, they can search for just in as a topic and a video comes up? Okay. About 5 months ago. Yeah. The Age of the Earth series. Yeah.
Okay. So, great.
How old was Adam when God made him?
I guess he was brand new first. Or it was,
was
one
zero.
Day. Yeah, zero.
did he look zero?
No.
No, he was a full grown. He already had a fully loaded computer. He could walk, talk, name all the animals and get married first day.
That's true. Yeah.
It has to be a mature creation. Mm-hmm. God didn't make Adam and then hand him a package of seeds and say, go plant these quick.
Mm-hmm.
The garden's already full of trees, already fresh stuff growing. It has to be a mature creation. Including stars already out there.
Correct.
So don't try to limit God and say, well, it takes millions of years for the light to get here.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, we cannot measure the distance to the stars with any accuracy beyond a few hundred light years. Mm-hmm. I cover all the reasons why. I taught trigonometry for years also. Mm-hmm. But you can't measure those distances, period.
So
they may be billions of light years. I'm not saying they're not, but you can't measure it. We don't know how far away they are.
So help me understand this. A light year is a measure of distance. It's not necessarily time. Is that correct or is
nothing,
that wrong?
Nothing to do with time.
Okay.
Like a Hovind minute. How far can Hovind run in a minute? That's a distance.
Okay.
Which gets shorter and shorter as I get older. But anyway, that's not a time. It's a distance.
I understand.
So a light year is a distance that light travels, 186,000 miles per second. So a light year is X number of million miles. And that's all. It's not a time.
Mm-hmm.
They can't get it. Watch my video 7 and give you a long, wonderful answer that you'll say, wow, I get it. That makes sense.
That's good. And people can get resources from drdino.com. You have a store there where you can buy information. And you have tons of great charts. I purchased a lot of them. And then, like I said, during COVID, just before I got involved with the radio station, I had donated. I had a room full of materials and displays and charts. And I gave them all to a church because the church I was attending just before we switched just didn't seem to move forward when I made the suggestions. So I thought, okay, I'll give it to a church that does. And then I ended up going to another church, which also appreciates it. So unfortunately, I gave away all my display materials, but you have awesome charts of Adam to Abraham, is it? You have some charts.
I cover what the Bible clearly add up to be from Adam all the way to Joseph.
Joseph.
Now, we know Joseph was the vice pharaoh in Egypt, and they know which pharaoh he worked for. So we have secular dates from Egyptian history on up to the present today. Mm-hmm. So if you take the dates the Bible gives in Genesis 5, which comes up to the flood, and then after the flood, you go to Genesis 11, and it gives a bunch more dates, how old they were when their kid was born, you know? Mm-hmm. And you can add all that together, plus we know when Joseph was vice pharaoh. You can add up, it comes to about 4,000 BC for the creation.
Yeah, I know
some billions of years ago.
Exactly. And I know some Bible scholars will say there's a few things we don't know, so you add in a few more years. But even from what I've heard, even if you add those years in, you're talking about a handful here and there. You're not talking billions of years by any means. So I believe in following that chronology that the Bible has as well. So, yeah, you've got a lot of great material available. So I hope people will check out drdino.com and learn more about it and check out Dinosaur Adventureland. And I would like to
really
just ask...
You need to come visit.
Yes, yes.
Dr. Kent Hovind has been attacked by many different media and other political forces. And to be fair to him, if you are searching his name, you will find a lot of slanderous things about him. But you should take the time, if you're going to listen to other people, take the time to hear directly from him and the facts that he provides in about a half an hour video. You can find it particularly on a search for Rumble. You don't have to be a member of Rumble to catch the video, but it's titled The Kent Hovind Official Page, Open Letter to President Trump. If you watch the video where he's defending himself and asking President Trump for some help, you actually will hear his heart. Even if you don't agree with some of the things he believes in, the facts that were presented against him are not necessarily facts, especially when you consider the biases of some of the people making the claims. And it's only fair to hear his side of it. Again, you can find that on a search through Kent Hovind Official on Rumble, or just type in open letter to President Trump and search for the Rumble Kent Hovind Official site.
Yeah, one more thing you might want to add. Every Thursday and Friday night at 7 o'clock Central Time, we have open mic. Skeptics can call in. Atheists can call in. Call in with your questions. We'll do the best we can.
Okay.
We'll defend the Bible against all comers. Okay.
So is that through a Zoom or how do you do that? Open mic.
We have all the links are on our... If you go to drdino.com, it lists all of our channels.
Great.
Go to any one of the channels, Facebook or whatever.
Yeah. It's available live.
There'll be a stream right there, link right there.
Yeah, I want to thank you for a blessing. Your ministry has been a blessing to me. It truly set me on a trajectory because even though the first hint of creation was some videos of an interview with Dr. Carl Baugh, when I learned about your ministry right after that, you had lots of resources. So I was able to watch videos and just dig right in and listen. And anything you referred to, I dug it up. This has been wonderful for me. And I want to thank you again for taking the time. And I will definitely, if I hear anything else, I will pass your name along for sure. Yeah. We're a small world of Bible believing creationists, but the information is truth. And I just know one day when people are in heaven, they're going to see the truth and they're going to be shocked at all the lies they've been believing. So the ones that are Christian. So thank you so much for the opportunity to gain from your insights, Dr. Hovind. And it has been such a pleasure to talk to you. I really hope I get to meet you when I go to visit my parents at some point in the future. I want to scoot down there and check out Dinosaur Adventure Land. And I want to ask God to bless you, your family, your ministry, and that Dinosaur Adventure Land changes hearts and minds. And your whole ministry has been such a blessing. Obviously, not just to myself, but the person that felt led to donate the land to you. That's a huge, huge blessing, I'm sure. So,
amen.
Yeah.
That's good. All right. Thank you, man.
Thank you very much. Bless you.
Bye. All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
To remember Romans 1:20 that states, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." To watch this episode in video form, you can go to CrestonGraceFellowship.org and check out our social medias. We'll have the video available as well as the audio on Another Moment in Creation. This is Diana signing off until we share another moment in creation. So.